Take your Bibles and let's turn to Romans chapter number 12. Romans chapter number 12. A few weeks back we were in a series on understanding and doing the will of God. Now we're looking at the matter of what we find in verse 2 here of our text of proving what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. And in order for that to be accomplished in our lives, I think that what we read in verse 1 and 2 seem to be prerequisite. If you read it the way that I read it, you can see how Paul is saying, if you want to prove the will of God in your life, you've got to do this. So we're looking at these two verses to see what it takes. Last week, we looked at the matter of first presenting our bodies a living sacrifice, as found in verse number 1. And this week, we want to examine the first part of verse number 2 and be not conformed to this world. So let's read these two verses here. Verse number 1, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Now the word conform means to fashion alike. It means to fit or be pressed in the same pattern or mold. And we know that this world is constantly trying to press each of us into its mold. They're not comfortable with us the way we are. They want us to get with the program, and the program to them is be like them. They don't want you to be like the world. But our scripture tells us in 1 Peter 1, I think I put that verse on there for you. I did give you a handout because we got a lot of scripture, and I didn't want you to to try to be fumbling through there and wondering where I'm at. And we're not going to turn to all of it, but you'll have the references there to help you. And it kind of helps with when you see all of the points there together and to go back and review it again later and look at what we have gone over. But 1 Peter 1, verse 14 through 16 says, as obedient children, not fashioning yourselves according to the former lust in your ignorance, but as he which hath called you is holy, so be ye holy in all manner of conversation, because it is written, be ye holy, for I am holy. Well, the Lord has called us to holiness. Well, that goes in direct opposition to what the world is all about. It's all about unholiness. And we're not to fashion ourselves according to that way that we used to be, according to those former lusts that when we were ignorant of the eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. We believers on Christ are not to be shaped by this world. We're not to be shaped by our flesh. We're not to be shaped by the devil. And so, you know, we are not to be conformed. Several things here. In fact, actually it's ten points here. But I'm not going to keep you all night. Our master is to be different. I think we can understand that. If you'll flip back to Romans chapter number 6, Romans chapter number 6, the Apostle Paul points us out to the Roman church in Romans 6. Look at verse number 12 and 13. Romans 6, verse number 12 says, let not sin, therefore, reign in your mortal body. Now, if sin is reigning, what does that mean it's doing? It's calling the shots, right? It's calling the shots. That you should obey it in the lust thereof. Neither yield ye your members as instruments of unrighteousness unto sin, but yield yourselves unto God as those that are alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness unto God. So our master is to be different than when we were lost. When we were lost, sin controlled, Satan to a certain extent controlled, the world had a lot to do when trying to press us in their mold. But now we're saved and we have a new master, we have a new Lord. John 13:13, Jesus said, ye call me master and Lord, and ye say well, for so I am. Well, if he is Lord, and he is, then that means we ought to do what he says. In Luke 6:46, he said, why call ye me Lord, Lord, and do not the things which I say? So our master is different. Second thing we see here is our mentality or our mindset is to be different than the world. Now, I'm not going to linger here because we'll be delving more into this next week when we take a look at the last part of what we're looking at, and when we look at the matter of the last part of verse 2, chapter 12, verse 2. Be transformed by the renewing of your mind. We're going to be taking a look at that, and we'll hit this a lot heavier then. But understand that we're to be transformed by the renewing of our mind. Ephesians 4. Look at Ephesians 4, and I'm not going to have you turn to all of these, but I will have you turn to some. Some of the longer ones we'll take time to turn to. Ephesians 4, verse number 17 through 19. And Paul says here, he said to the Ephesus church, he says, "This I say therefore and testify in the Lord," and here it is, "that ye henceforth walk not as other Gentiles walk, in the vanity of their mind, having the understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God through the ignorance that is in them because of the blindness of their heart, who being past feeling had given themselves over unto lasciviousness to work all uncleanness with greediness." Well, what are those things? Those are things that were before they came to Christ. And he says there in verse 20, "But ye have not so learned Christ." You don't go in that direction anymore. That was the direction you went in. The other Gentiles around you, the world, that's where they're going. And they would like to press you into that same mold that they're in, but don't go that way. Don't go that way anymore. You go the way that Jesus would have you to go. Romans 13, verse number 4 says, "But put ye on the Lord Jesus Christ, and make not provision for the flesh to fulfill the lust thereof." So as we put off the things of our flesh and put on more of the Lord Jesus Christ in our life, it is amazing how it transforms our life. So we see our mentality or mindset is to be different. Our master, we said, is to be different. Thirdly, our makeup is to be different. Our makeup. Now, what I'm talking about, I'm not talking about what you ladies put on in front of the mirror, okay? That's not what we're talking about. We're talking about it. By makeup, I mean our character. Our character. 2 Corinthians 5:17, "Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature." Be the new creature that you are in Christ Jesus. "Behold, all things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new." By makeup, also I mean our composition. Our composition. That we're there in Ephesians 4. And he talks about down in verse number 22. He says that ye put off concerning the former conversation, the old man, that old behavior, that which is corrupt according to the deceitful lust, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind. And that you put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. So our character is to be different. Our composition, that's the makeup of our composition, the makeup of our disposition. You know any folks who call themselves believers and they're hard to get along with? Yeah, it happens, doesn't it? Well, that's not the way we're supposed to be. We're supposed to have a disposition that is pleasing to the Lord. Look at Colossians chapter number 3. Colossians chapter number 3. And here in verses 12 through 14. Getting the right place here. That'd help. There you go. Colossians chapter 3, verse number 12. It says here, "Put on therefore as the elect of God, holy and beloved, bowels of mercies, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, long-suffering, forbearing one another, forgiving one another. If any man have a quarrel against any, even as Christ forgave you, so also do ye." And he goes on to say in verse 14, "And above all these things, put on charity, which is the bond of perfectness." Wow. Sounds like a tall order. Yeah, but it's what we're called to. We're called to have a different disposition than we had when we were lost. By makeup, I mean our conversation, the things that we talk about, how the things that come out of our mouth. Ephesians 4:29 says, let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying, that may minister grace unto the hearers. We need to make a habit of listening to what we're saying from the standpoint of if we're the other person. I know we don't think that way, but we need to. How are we coming across? Ephesians 4, verse 31 and 32 said that let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. Be kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. Our conversation makes a difference, doesn't it? Colossians 3:8 says, but now ye also put off all these, anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy communication out of your mouth. Lie not one to another, seeing ye have put off the old man with the deeds, and have put on the new man, which is renewed in knowledge after the image of him that created him. So our makeup is to be different. Number four, our meditation is to be different. The things that we allow ourselves to think on and dwell on with our thoughts, it needs to be different than what the world dwells on. We need to guard our ear gate, eye gate, the things that we allow to come in. Philippians 4, verse 8, you're familiar with that. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think on these things. Well, if the things that are coming through your eye gate and your ear gate are not of that matter, guess what? You think it's not going to be right. You have what they call stinking thinking. Stinking thinking, yeah. We need to make sure that our meditation is different. It's to be different than the world. Psalm 19, verse number 14, let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. So we all look, and the things that we're thinking about during the day, is the Lord pleased with what we're dwelling on? Is the Lord pleased with things that we're thinking? Luke chapter number 6 and verse number 45 tells us the reason why we need to be thinking right. Look at Luke 6:45. Let's back up to verse number 44. Well, back to verse 43. For a good tree bringeth not forth corrupt fruit, neither doth a corrupt tree bring forth good fruit. For every tree is known by his own fruit. For of thorns men do not gather figs, nor of bramble bush to gather they grapes. A good man, notice this, a good man out of the good treasure of his heart. A treasure. Treasure is something you lay up, right? What are you laying up in your heart? Well, that's what it's talking about. A good man out of the good treasure of his heart bringeth forth that which is good. An evil man out of the evil treasure of his heart bringeth forth that which is evil. It gets down to what are you storing in the heart? What are you treasuring up in your heart? For out of the abundance of the heart his mouth speaketh. We see number five thing here. Our methods are to be different. There are different methods that you can do, but they need to be guided by biblical principles. I'm going to have you turn to a few of these here. Look at 2 Corinthians chapter 1. The reason I'm going to have you turn, because these are not as familiar and maybe a little bit more complicated. If I read it, you're not going to comprehend it. You might have to read it more than once to get it down. 2 Corinthians chapter number 1, I know it had to do that way with me. 2 Corinthians 1, verse number 12. 2 Corinthians 1 and verse number 12, he says, for our rejoicing is this, the testimony of our conscience, that in simplicity and godly sincerity, not, here it is, not with fleshly wisdom, but by the grace of God, we have had our conversation in the world and more abundantly to you. It's not with the fleshly wisdom, but the grace of God. Look at a few pages over there to 2 Corinthians chapter number 4. Being you're that close by, 2 Corinthians 4, verse number 1 and 2 here. He says, therefore, seeing we have this ministry, he's talking about the ministry of the gospel. Seeing we have this ministry, as we have received mercy, we faint not. Notice this, but have renounced the hidden things of dishonesty. You know, we ought to be known for truth, hadn't we? Yeah, we ought to be known for truth. Our Savior is the truth, and we ought to be known for truth. Hidden things of dishonesty, not walking in craftiness, nor handling the word of God deceitfully, but by manifestation, there it is again, of the truth, commending ourselves to every man's conscience in the sight of God. We need to have the testimony that we are speaking the truth. Amen. Our methods are to be different than the world. The world will tell you what they want you to hear. They don't care anything about really the truth. It's manipulation a lot of times. We live in a very manipulative world. And they'll tell you whatever they're going to tell you to try to manipulate you to being like they want you to be. Look at 1 Thessalonians chapter number 2. 1 Thessalonians and chapter number 2. Verse number 2 through 6. But even after we had suffered before and were shamefully entreated, as you know, at Philippi, we were bold in our God to speak unto you the gospel of God with much contention. Notice what he says about their speech. He said, for our exhortation was not of deceit, nor of uncleanness, nor in guile, but as we were allowed of God to be put in trust with the gospel, even so we speak. Not as pleasing men, but God which trieth our hearts. For neither at any time used we flattering words, so that's the ways of the world. He says, as you know, nor a cloak of covetousness, that's a way of the world, isn't it? God is witness, nor of men sought we glory, neither of you, nor yet of others, when we might have been burdensome as the apostles of Christ. He was very careful about the methods that he used. We see that our motives are to be different. John chapter number 6, verse 27 says, labor not for the meat which perisheth, but for that meat which endureth. Talking about don't labor for monetary gain. We know what the Lord said about God and mammon in Matthew chapter number 6, verse 24, don't we? So you can't serve God and mammon. Our motives will be different. This world's all about the money. The money talks, and people listen. Look at Acts chapter number 20. There's another thing that talks too, and that is fear. And we see a lot of people trying to instill fear in us, don't we? And fear can be a very, very powerful motive. Money can be a powerful motive. But fear can be a powerful motive too. Acts chapter number 20, and look at verse number 22. This is where Paul was giving his charge to the elders of the church at Ephesus before he left there. And he was headed to Jerusalem, and he's talking about why he's going there. Look at verse 22. He says, and now behold, I go bound in the Spirit unto Jerusalem, not knowing the things that shall befall me there, save that the Holy Ghost witnesseth in every city, saying that bonds and afflictions abide me. But none of these things move me, neither count I my life dear unto myself, so that I might finish my course with joy and the ministry which I have received of the Lord Jesus to testify the gospel of the grace of God. In other words, he was not going to let fear of even what the Holy Spirit said was going to be, you know, there on that end, didn't let it move him, because he was not going to allow fear to be the reason for that he went or didn't go somewhere. He wanted to be guided by God. He wanted to be in the place where the Lord would have him go, speaking the things that the Lord would have him to speak, without the motives of the world, such as monetary gain and fear. There's some other motives that the world has. We could spend a lot of time sitting here and talking about power and lust and greed and envy and jealousy and hatred and pride. I mean, those are all the things that the world, and we could even list more things, the things that the world is guided by and they're motivated by. But our motive is supposed to be the motive of 2 Corinthians 5, verse 14 and 15. For the love of Christ constraineth us. The love of Christ constraineth us, because we thus judge that if one died for all, then we're all dead, and that he died for all, that they which live should not henceforth live unto themselves, but unto him which died for them and rose again. We see number seven thing here. Our morals are to be different. Our morals are to be different. Look at 1 Corinthians chapter number 6. We know that the Corinthian church had some problems in this area, and the Apostle Paul was trying to help them in this area. And in 1 Corinthians 6, verse number 9, he says, ask them a question here. It says, know ye not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? Be not deceived, neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor effeminate, nor abusers of themselves with mankind, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners shall inherit the kingdom of God. And such were some of you, but ye are washed, but ye are sanctified, but ye are justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of our God. He's trying to get them to say, you know, that's what you were. Don't continue to be what you were. You're different now because you've been washed and you've been sanctified and justified in the Lord. Look at Galatians chapter number 5. Galatians chapter number 5, we know, pits the works of the flesh versus the being guided by the Spirit, walking in the Spirit. Walking in the Spirit or walking in the flesh. And the list here of the works of the flesh are what the world is all about. Galatians 5, verse number 19. It says here, Galatians 5, 19, now the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these: adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulations, wrath, strife, seditions, heresies, envyings, murders, drunkenness, revelings, and such like. Of the which I tell you before, as I have also told you in times past, that they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. And you know, we have the Holy Spirit living within. And if we are filled with the Holy Spirit, we're going to manifest the fruit of the Spirit rather than manifesting in our lives those things that are called the works of the flesh there. It's sad when works of the flesh show up in the life of a believer. Look at also number 8 there. Our modesty is to be different. 1 Timothy 2, verse 9 and 10, Paul told Timothy, and he said, in like manner also that women adorn themselves in modest apparel, with shamefacedness and sobriety, not with broided hair or gold or pearls or costly array, but which becometh a woman of professing godliness with good works. I'm not going to get on a hobby horse here because I don't have a hobby horse to ride, but I just want to say you'll not find nakedness used in a good context in the Bible after man sinned. And I'm thankful that the women of our church cover up. So it's just a blessing. God intends for nakedness to be covered outside of the personal, private, intimate, marital relationship. That's just the way it is. And praise the Lord that for the difference that godly women have over the women of the world in that area. And it's also with men too, by the way. Men can be immodest, just as immodest as women can be. We see our maintenance is to be different. Number 9, What I'm talking about is our sustenance, our support, our livelihood. You know, the world looks to what they have. They look at their job. They look at their bank account. They look at their abilities. They look at their retirement. They look at all kinds of different things. But listen, the believer should be looking to God. God is our sustenance. God is the one that will take care of us. 2 Corinthians 3:5. Well, that doesn't mean you don't work, but you don't go the world's way. You depend upon the Lord. 2 Corinthians 3:5 says, not that we are sufficient of ourselves to think anything of ourselves, but our sufficiency is of God. And 2 Corinthians 9:8, and God is able to make all grace abound toward you, that ye always having all sufficiency in all things may abound to every good work. When the Lord blesses us, you know, He blesses us so that we can be a blessing to others. Don't you like being a blessing to people? I do. I like when the Lord gives us a little extra, and you see somebody in need, and you help them with that need. It's a blessing to be able to do that. And I look at it that way, that the Lord didn't give that extra to me to take and use on myself unless I had a need. If I have a need, I would look to Him for the extra. But when it just comes out of the blue, you want to be a blessing to others as much as others have been a blessing to you. And then last of all, we see here our measurement. Measurements are to be different. Our measurement of righteousness is to be different. You know, our standard is not the laws of men, but the laws of God. There in Acts chapter 5, verse 29, Peter and the apostles, they were standing there before the council who were trying to say, hey, we don't want you sharing this doctrine around here anymore. And they said, you know, we ought to obey God rather than men. They said, we ought to obey God rather than men. And you know, our standard is not other men, but Christ. 2 Corinthians 10:12, Paul said, for we dare not to make ourselves of the number or compare ourselves with some that commend themselves, but they measuring themselves by themselves and comparing themselves among themselves are not wise. You know, our standard is the Lord Jesus Christ. We need to look to Him, and none of us measure up. We know that, but we need to lean upon His grace, amen, and the times we don't measure up. Our measurement of success is to be different, not by the worldly standards of position and power and possessions and things such like that, but by godly standards of obedience, humility, righteousness, and Christlikeness. So we're not to be conformed to this world, but we're to be transformed. Now, the word transformed is where we get our word metamorphosis from, the word that is translated transformed there. And we're going to get in next week. Why do we need to be transformed? Because prior to us coming to a saving knowledge of Jesus, we were all pressed into the mold of this world. Change needs to take. Change has happened on the inside. Change needs to happen in the rest of our life. And because even after we're saved, the world keeps trying to press us into its mold. There's constant pressure. And so the only way that we are going to be pleasing to the Lord is and be proving His will out in our life is to be transformed by the renewing of our minds. And we will continue with that thought next time, Lord willing. Now, tonight, if you're saved, does your life more resemble the world or Christ? I hope it's Christ, amen, because that's what it ought to be. We ought to lean upon the Lord and trust Him in our walk and in our lives. Let's bow in prayer. Father, we just thank You.